This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later, we'll talk about animal thought and communication. But first, the Ebola virus. It's had a terrible impact on communities in Africa. The latest outbreak happened in November of last year. Close to 300 people have died from Ebola in the last 2 years. The impact of Ebola on ape populations is even worse. Possibly thousands of gorillas have died from the infection. There is no cure or treatment for Ebola, hemorrhagic fever, and what's worse, we don't even know where it comes from. A paper in Science out this week reports a direct link between gorilla and chimpanzee deaths and Ebola outbreaks in humans. Scientists sequenced the genes of the Ebola virus and found that the same virus strains were killing both apes and people. Very, very useful. So what is the source, then, of the Ebola infections? What can be done to control outbreaks? And can we monitor the animals to predict when Ebola could strike humans next? And would it help us prevent an outbreak? Let me introduce my first guest. Dr. Pierre Rollin is a senior scientist at the Special Pathogens Branch of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. He's the author of this week's science paper. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Let's talk about the genetic variations in Ebola. What have you learned? Does the genetic strain travel directly from chimps or gorillas into humans?
It seems so. We had some epidemiological evidence previously in other outbreak that there was a link between a contact with sick or dead animals and humans, but nobody was ever able to get sample from the animal at the origin. And in that case, Eric Leroy in Franceville in Gabon, by working on site, was able to track down and get sample from the animals and then sample from the human that follow, and sometimes using some small trick to get the virus, and was able to confirm that it was the same virus.
So in each outbreak of Ebola, is it traceable? The same virus starts out in the animal population and spreads into the human population?
Not in each outbreak. Again, the first time that it was able to do that. Most of the other outbreaks that we've seen in Zaire or Uganda more recently were hospital outbreak, and when the community start to work on it, it's too late. It's already several generations of human, and it's human-to-human transmission, and there is no possibility to go back to the animal at the origin. Mm.
So what I hear you saying about your research is that if you watch the populations of dead chimps and gorillas early on, you can predict when one may jump over to the human side.
Yes, because in this area, the people are hunting actively primate for human consumption. They eat the meat and sell the meat. And in some of these small outbreak, Eric was able to, in fact, being aware of dead animals found in the forest, collect specimen, and make the diagnostic even before human case occur.
Can people catch Ebola from animals besides gorillas, chimps, and antelope?
Not as far as we know, but there is a lot. Most of the outbreak before, we never found the origin of the outbreak, and we don't think that the chimp or gorilla are the reservoir. We think they get infected, but they are the link between this unknown reservoir and the human.
So that's the big question then. Where do these chimps get it from? Where is that original reservoir?
Everybody is looking for the holy grail, but nobody has found that yet. The fact that we have now primate, it's a little bit easier. It's difficult to track what the human are doing and where they went, and they move a lot. Non-human primate have a range that is more defined. They don't take plane, they don't fly, they stay in the same place. So now people hope going in this area very quickly after the first animal is diagnosed and trying to trap animals, try to find the reservoir.
Mm-hmm. So are there different virus strains that are in different parts of Africa?
There is mostly in Africa three different strains. The one called Zaire that was found the first time in 76 in Yambuku Zaire, and is the same one found in Gabon and the Republic of Congo. The one called Sudan, because it was found the first one first time in 76 in Sudan, mm-hmm. and Ivory Coast, because it was found in someone that was in contact with a chimpanzee dead in Ivory Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, among these three big groups, there is some small difference that we don't think have any impact on the outcome or eventually a treatment if we find one, but can serve as a marker, and that what was found in this paper, that you can really type the strain and be able to say, okay, the one in this family are in contact with that animal that were found, and the other chain of transmission in the next village is something different with no link at all with the first one.
Hmm. And I guess telling people not to consume primate meat, the gorillas, the monkeys, whatever, it just doesn't work.
Not in this area, because it's a very easy to sell meat, and gorilla and sheep are big and quite easy for the local people to find and to hunt and to kill. So they keep doing it, but they have no other income. That's the only income in this area.
Now, you are suggesting a widening of surveillance of animal populations all around the jungles of Africa, with the thought that if you can detect the animal outbreak, you can minimize human contact with the dead animals, and therefore through the virus transmission. How easy is it to do that?
It's all over Africa, it's impossible. It will require too many people. All these forests have difficult access. In some of these outbreaks, the public health people have to drive for several days with a mm-hmm. four-wheel drive, then walk for 2 or 3 days in the forest to reach the village. And that's why we don't have a lot of information on even the primate population. There is some estimate, but that's it. What we can propose in the area where we saw, and that's the case in Congo, Republic of Congo and Gabon, in the last 4 or 5 years, there was already 2 or 3 outbreaks mm-hmm. that stay for months. In this area, what we know that there is a definitive risk, try to do that and try to propose something. We cannot stop the virus, but at least if we can make break the chain between the primate and the human, that will be very helpful.
What about creating a nature preserve where there might be these areas of contact, so that you can protect the chimps and the gorillas? I know they've been dying in huge numbers from Ebola. At least we might be able to protect them there, and maybe keep them if they're protected from spreading it to people.
Yeah, we can protect them, but the problem is, until we know what the reservoir is, Imagine it's a flying animal. It could be, we don't think it's a bird, but it could be a bat, it could be something moving. And we saw in this outbreak that sometimes you have a case on two sides of a huge river that is not crossed by any walking or swimming animals, so there's clearly something going from one side to the other. So it's difficult to make a real reserve and avoid to be infected. Now, if we succeed to find the reservoir, maybe there is a way to mm-hmm. do something.
Yeah. What does it take to find the reservoir? Just more hunting and more research, or is it just a question of resources, money, people?
It's money and people, but also knowledge. If you go in this area, there's plenty of species that are completely unknown to science, and you really have to go there and spend a lot of time, make some long-term study. And in fact, when you think about that study that we just published, it works only because there was a collaboration between astute virologists on site, some ecologists that work on the animals, some people that work on trying to preserve the nature in this area, and reference lab like the CDC or the people in South Africa. So you really need a collaboration of people coming from very different place and different training.
That's fascinating. You mean the reservoir, the unknown reservoir, could be some flying species of a bat or something else that we don't even know exists? Something like that?
It could be. It could be. Every time there was some real scientific investigation in this area, and again, this area you can go by helicopter, or if you very resistant, you can walk, but you have to travel everything with everything on your back. They always found some new species of plant or animals.
So to do this correctly, you'd have to bring in a real detective squad of scientists.
Exactly. Try to understand a little bit and also use maybe the local population. They know better than we know what fly, crawl, grows in this area, and try to use them. And that may be something in the future. Instead of having them hunting the animal, provide them resources to help the scientists to do more research.
Do you feel that because this is sort of an orphan disease, it's not very it doesn't impact very much on Western society where the bulk of the cash lies, that may be the reason why the resources are not being put into it?
Yes, and it's also every time you make the front page with Ebola when you have an outbreak, but if you count the number of people that died of Ebola since we know it, and it's maybe a few thousand, maybe only one, more than 1,000, but 2 or 2,500, that's nothing compared to the other diseases that they have. They have no vaccination. They have measles, malaria, everything you can imagine for which they have no care at all. Even the physicians there are not, first of all, there is only few, and they're not even immunized, again, the basic thing that the general population used to be in the Western country.
Would it be possible to create a vaccine? I know you were involved with looking for a vaccine.
Yeah, there is a vaccine that certainly will work in human. The problem will be to find what population you're going to do when, again, this population is not immunized against tetanus, maybe polio, I don't think so, measles and everything, and that kill every day, and you're going to try to spread a vaccine that kill maybe someday. It's very difficult to have that.
So you have much other greater health worries than Ebola at this point.
Yes, it's and again, the doctor are not immunized against hepatitis, and they see patients.
Right.
You have AIDS, you have plenty of other diseases that are, on a public health perspective, are a big problem. Ebola has a big problem because it affects not only the people, the population, but also when there is an outbreak, very often decimated the healthcare worker.
Yeah, the healthcare workers.
And they need it for other things, but they, in most of the outbreak known, they, very often the healthcare workers serve as sentinel. When you start to see death and disease among them, then someone thinks that is maybe an hemorrhagic fever.
Well, Pierre Rolland, I want to wish you good luck and in all your efforts to try to find the source of that of Ebola, where the reservoir is.
We're always trying.
And thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day to talk to us.
Thanks for having me. Bye.